It's okay. Now we
When I
have
was
puzzle.
first learning Vancomterp, like Callum had just started this initiative, which was like he would each month train some like toy small model, one layer, two layer, attention only to do some simple like sorting a list or something like that. And he would just say like go. Like it wasn't really a competition, but it was like sort of just go, here's some models that I trained that can do this thing, like try to explain as much as you can, do your work in a collab, present it nicely, submit it at the end of the month, and then next month we'll have another one. And it was just like I don't know, that's when I first sort of like fell in love with like like trying to understand what's going on with these things, because it was just so much fun. And it's like it was a really good way of putting into practice the things you read about or learn. So he only did a few of those before he got busy with his job. So
Try to convince Callum to be an academic.
what's that?
Somebody should try to convince Callum to be an
He's
academic.
really an amazing
He's such a good
educator.
teacher. Yeah.
But anyway, this is an effort to sort of revive that. And I think it has a lot of benefits. Like one benefit is like we get a lot of emails from students who want to do research, and like this is one opportunity for them maybe to A, learn about Vecinterp and play around with it, and B, for us to get some signal on whether they what their work is like if they want to submit something. Another benefit is like all the starter notebooks are like loading the models in AnandSite, and so like people will be able to get a sense of AnandSite from doing these things, I think. And then like another benefit is just like this can be a community thing in the NDIF thing. Like Alice has been helping with that we're gonna like advertise it on the end of community stuff. So and like mostly I think it's useful as like a educational resource to because like real models you never get to a place where you can like fully really understand a model, but these ones are small enough where I think basically you can really understand what's going on. So it's extremely satisfying, I think, to have that like spark of oh, I understand this thing
You
now.
get it, yeah.
So anyway, we'll it'll go under some more iteration.
And the domain is puzzles.bylab.info. Is that right? Okay.
Do you solve these yourself before releasing, or intend to, or do you imagine there'll be times where you just release it and don't know if it's how easy it is to solve, et cetera?
I don't know. It depends on how much I really want to do here. Anyway, we'll like release it on April 1st or April 2nd or something.
No, April 1st. It's gotta be April 1st.
But I don't know, like
April Fool's Day. The model is
April.
unsolvable.
We you might have to choose a special puzzle for April 1st,
An
like
algorithm
appropriate,
that
like
detects if something is an April Fool's joke.
some special
Some
thing.
randomized neural network.
Yes, I don't know. I don't
That's
know. Adrian.
So one thing that I've been working on recently is trying to steer this diffusion model when it's inpainting these letter grids to output a different letter than it would have originally. So like so basically like the idea is that you take all of the tokens that are in, for example, like this box in the top left grid where it's gonna just impate the letter capital Z. You just take all those tokens and then you t take the centroid of all of them, and that's like the centroid, quote unquote, of like the capital letter Z. And then you take like the centroid of or the of all the letters for like E, and then you get that to your steering vector, and then you just add it to the tokens and just see whether or not it outputs the target letter. And this is a like a preliminary result just running on like just a simple case of just these like letters are really close to each other, like PGQ, and just looking at the peak signal to noise. It's Pisner is just like a you can basically think of it as mean squared error, but it's just on the log scale. So like higher is better, and the two images that are being compared is just the image that's in the grid, and then the image that gets impainted. Or the sorry, no, it's the target. Like if you just print the target character, what it would look like if you just just printed it normally versus just intervention that we do, and we can see that like.
So it's so spiky.
Yeah, so the intervention doesn't work across like really any of the layers until you hit like layer 30, 31, and it starts to like work a little bit.
So do you think that the diffusion model knows what letter it is at layer 31?
I there's more evidence accumulating towards it.
Do
Yeah,
you think so?
I still feel like the intervention is not like super convincing. Like if it hit
Is
like
this which model is which diffusion model
it's
is?
just flux.
It's flux. So
Yeah.
flux is supposed to know text, right?
It's supposed to know text.
Yeah.
Should I do
And
it
so, but
again?
you think that it just knows text at layer 31.
I think
That's
so.
cool. Yeah, that's great. That's really nice. I like it. Thanks, Adrian. It's very exciting. It's exciting progress. It sounds like a very clean experiment. Arnold.
So this is my new activation patching setup. I want to identify the subcomponents, components of
Arnold, you're only supposed to have one slide. Look at what is all this animation.
Yeah.
Do you think I can see it again? See it again. More than one slide.
So this is my activation patching setup. I want to identify the components or subspaces in the model that are mediating the goal signal. So what is the goal signal here? The goal signal here is a specific predicate. In the source prompt, you see that the model is implement. I'm prompting the model to implement is palindrome in C++. I want to patch it over to a different prompt that asks the model to implement a different predicate in a different programming language, Python. And I want to, by patching, I want to bring over the minimal information that makes the model implement the source predicate in the destination programming language. Make sense? Okay.
Oh,
Do I
sorry,
need
could
to
you
separate?
repeat that one more time? Sorry. Could
What?
you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. So in the source prompt, we see that I'm asking the model to implement one predicate is palindrome in, let's say, C++. In the destination prompt, I'm prompting the model to implement another predicate, a different predicate, like is lower in Python. And I want to understand how the model knows what it is going to implement. So I want to perform a patch that signals the model, like I want to bring from the source representations to destination representations such that the model thinks that it is implementing the source predicate in Python. Like, is there a disentanglement between understanding the goal versus what the model is actually in the Python context? Makes sense.
Yeah, why are you changing two variables at once? I.e., like, why couldn't you
You
do
mean
like
language?
patch from C to C, or even C to Python, but is palindrome?
Then I have a risk of the model literally copying over the tokens. Like, let's say when the
The
model knows
Probsting
that
risk.
is palindrome, it is already thinking about the Pythonic way of doing the reverse. So you see that where in the target token it is like colon colon minus one. This is something you only have in Python.
Okay.
This is not something you have in C. And if I do the patch, then in from let's say Python to Python, then I risk of literally just copying over the token itself. The same logic goes for the other thing as well.
How do you disentangle them?
How do I disentangle them?
The two variables that you're changing. Like, how do you know that you're just.
I'm just changing one variable, just the goal. And I'm assuming that there is a disentanglement between the understanding the goal versus in the programming language, how it is going to be implemented. Does that make sense? So this is just a hypothesis. I'm not doing anything. to enforce that disentanglement. Does that make sense?
Yep, and then what happens?
Okay. So one natural way to target is basically attention heads, because attention heads are actually doing the parsing. So I, with this causal tracing or with this activation patching setup, I learn a joint mask over all the attention heads to basically flip the prediction to whatever I want. And it roughly, I can roughly select kind of like a 2% of all the attention heads. And if I patch over the output of 2% of this attention heads in the destination run, then, well, immediately after this token, you'll see that the model is actually implementing the is palindrome logic. But sometimes, so I'm doing steering. So for each generation, for each generated token, I do the same patching over and over again. So sometimes the model just goes over, it does not really forget that it was in the is lower context. So even if it immediately says, like checks for the is palindrome predicate, it will eventually go back to checking the destination predicate as well. So anyways.
Yeah, what are the right tokens to patch?
This Good is question. Something, yeah. And also like how...
There is subspace where you should patch
yeah.
Well, like every token along that subspace or something.
Good question.
Yeah. Also like, do you need to patch it over generation?
Yeah.
Like when do you actually end the patching?
So it's a question of like when the model starts holding the goal in its head and when
yeah.
it stops
the clock signal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm calling it the clock signal. And clock. I just... The clock basically when to start pursuing the goal, then when to end pursuing the goal, and how to schedule things inside.
Is there a way of measure? Check. Yeah. Is there a way to measure this?
I have been going through the literature for the last week, and I have not found anything. But a hope from this project is that to get a better understanding of
yeah
how to do that.
Excellent.
I prefer not to be recorded.
Oh, you prefer not to be recorded. We can fix that.